to verse number 11 this evening. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harps, sing unto him with a psaltery, an instrument of 10 strings, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Glory. You can be seated again this evening. Praise be to our God. Hallelujah. I want to preach tonight. The title of my message is Readiness. This portion of Scripture that we have just read, that we have perceived, that we have heard, this here is a depiction of what your God has done and what your God can do. Praise God. This is why the psalmist starts, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely," or it's the right thing to do for the upright. Hallelujah. And we praise God with musical instruments. We lift our voice. And the reason we do that is because he is our God. Hallelujah. He is the one that is able to do all things. He created all things. The counsel of the heathen will be to naught. He makes their devices of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. And we just sung the chorus, "Oh, how he loves you and me." The thought of his heart to all generations. Oh, how he loves you and me. He spake, and it was done. Woo. I like that. I don't know about you, but that lets me know my God is able. Hallelujah. He commanded, and it stood fast. There's no God like our God. Praise his holy name. There's no God that's got power like our God has power. There's no God that loves like our God loves. There's no God that has the grace that our God has shown. Our God is the only true God. And our God, and we preached it just the other night, will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us always. Always. That's God's part. That's what God's promised. That's who God is. That's the ability that he has. Woo, hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. I want you to perceive this. We're not serving a God that cannot be touched. Hello. By the feeling of our infirmities. He knows where we're at. He knows what we feel. He knows what we experience. He knows about all things that come against our spirit, soul, and our body. He knows all about it, and yet He is above it. Hallelujah. And all things are underneath His feet. The earth, the Bible says, is His footstool. Hallelujah. We're talking about the God that created all things. The very breath that you and I breathe, God created it. He gives it unto us day by day. Hallelujah. He formed man out of the dirt, out of the dust of the ground, formed him, and then He breathed life into him, and he became a living soul. Hallelujah. And then He has you and I as His children. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we become part of the family of God. And the very God of heaven, well, this is our God right here, Psalm chapter number 33. Praise the Lord. Tell me, is there anything that your God can't do? Show me something. Tell me something. Show me. Can God do all things? But do we always believe that? Do we always embrace that? Why do you worry? Why do you fear? Why do we fret? Has God taken vacation? Has God removed Himself from you? My Bible tells me there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Wow. Wow. Readiness is what I'm talking about. Readiness. Being ready to let God be God. See, it's not a matter of what I can do. It's a matter of what God can do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if you've ever been around a good, well-trained horse. Probably all of us have seen a horse at some point in time. And let me tell you, not all horses are well-trained horses. But a well-trained horse is a horse that has been trained for readiness. I'll never forget, I'll probably never forget this as long as I live, until maybe my mind fails me completely. We had an opportunity to go and watch, I think his name was John Lyons, a horse trainer. This man was very good at what he did, because that performance that we viewed, he brought in a horse just off the range. Never had a bit, never had a halter, never had anything. Just running free on the range. And he brought it into that arena, that pen. It was just a pen that was probably not much bigger than the center section in a round circle. And he asked everybody there, says, you think that I can make this horse come to me? We're all looking. I mean, this horse is just, I mean, you know, it's got that fire in his eyes. He's running here, there, rare. You know, this horse is crazy and wild. He said, you think that within 5 minutes I can have that horse walk up to me? I'm just looking at this. You know, I've never seen this before, and I'm just kind of laughing. It's okay. Yeah, right. Says, okay, well, here we go. So he had his whip in his hand. He cracked that whip, and he began to make that horse run around, run around. And then he'd stop him and make him run the other way and make him run the other way, make him run the other way until that horse got tired of running. And then he'd make him run some more. And then by the time that horse got tired of running, then he'd just come up to the fence and stood with his back to that horse. And that horse just began to look at him. That horse began to walk across that pen and stand right behind him. And of course, then he could start the training process. Then he brought in his horse that he had trained personally. And he was riding this horse. I'd never seen anything as remarkable as this my entire life. He brought that horse in, was just riding him normal. But then he began to give him commands with his feet and pulling upon his sides. And that horse literally began to tighten all of his muscles, pull his muscles up, cock his head, and begin to prance. And then that horse began to do astounding things. I mean, he could literally step sideways, jump sideways, go forward, go backwards, spin around in a circle. I mean, this horse was doing just wild things, not out of crazy, but at the command of that man. Because that man had trained him to be in a position of readiness. So that no matter what the command was, the horse could immediately perform that command. This is what I'm preaching about tonight. Readiness. You see, God's got the power. God's got the ability. God's hand is upon us. The Spirit of God is about us, and the Spirit of God is in us. But you and I have a part to play, and our part to play is to become ready to move with whatever needs to be done by the Spirit of God. I'm not just talking about worship here. I'm not just talking about praise here. I'm talking about warfare here. I'm talking about the principalities and the powers that you and I fight against, that we can be in a state of readiness to know how to fight this wickedness that would come against us, that would bombard our minds, that would try to overpower us, that would try to oppress us, as that song was talking about, a readiness to know that when that starts to happen, that the commander can give me the command to counteract what the enemy is trying to bring against me. And I want you to understand, it's not you that is orchestrating it, but it will be you that will perform it. Just like that horse was in that state of readiness, it wasn't the horse that was given the commands. It was the rider. Hallelujah. But the horse was in a state of readiness that whatever command was given, it could be done. Woo, hallelujah, readiness. Oh, glory to God. Why? Because he spake and it was done. He commanded it stood fast. Hallelujah. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Oh my, the magnificence of our God, the glory of our God, the goodness of our God, the righteousness of our God, the holiness of our God, everything about our God, when you and I bring ourselves to a place of readiness, they can become displayed in our lives. Wow. And it's not under our control in the sense of we think it up, but it's God's word performing through us. Woo, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 24 says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I run, but I know why I run. I fight, but I know why I fight, and I know what I fight. Woo, hallelujah. He said, I don't fight as one that just beats the air. No, I don't fight as one that beats the air. I know what I've got to fight. What's he got to fight? I bring my body under. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That Greek word, I bring my body under, it has the connotation, hang on with me here, to hit under the eye. Where do you think a KO is going to happen? It's about time we, as children of God, get the KO, the knockout, and we take the old flesh and we hit it right under the eye, pow, and put it down. Woo. Now, once again, we're in a state of readiness. It's going to be us performing it. But where's the command going to come from? Woo. We've got to understand this as the children of God. It's not just me in the air trying to find out what I need to do. No. It's the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God, giving me directive, hallelujah, of where I need to place this punch, where I need to place, hallelujah, what I need to do at this moment of time, what I need to do in this time of temptation, what I need, woo, glory to God. This is why we need to be full of the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Ghost, listening to the Holy Ghost, attentive to the Holy Ghost, woo, glory to God, for He is your strength, your power. He is the one that will direct your lives. If you and I let Him, hallelujah, we can live in a state of readiness for the directive of the Spirit of God, and this is our duty. Why do so many not overcome? Because they weren't ready to fight. They were dull of hearing to start with. They were dull of being attentive. Let me read on here. I keep under my body, bring it into subjection. Why? Because I realize this is the first place the enemy is going to attack me. Readiness for the warfare. Readiness for the enemy of my soul. Ready to lay the punch, if you will, to the exact point that needs knocked out, that needs to be brought to naught. Hallelujah. It means to disable, hit under the eye, to disable, to subdue. So when he said, I keep under my body, he's saying, I give it wholly to the Lord. And I fight against anything that tries to take it away from Him. Glory to God. See, this is our part. God's doing His part magnificently. All power been given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. He has overcome, so I can overcome. God's doing His part magnificently. God is able to fulfill that which He has promised to you and I. Glory to His holy name. There is not one thing our God cannot do when it comes to being victorious over this world and victorious over ourselves. There's not one thing our God cannot do, but are we ready for Him to do it? Are we ready for him to do it? 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What did that just say? Can I read that again? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. It's not going to be by my ingenious figuring things out, but it's going to be by my giving of my intellect to God Almighty so he can use it to perform what needs to be done. See, this is where I feel we miss the mark so many times. We are spinning our wheels trying to figure out how to do these things for God when God has only just asked us, don't try to figure out what you're going to do for me. Let me show you. If you've ever dealt with a student or a child, you're trying to teach them something. And I read something to the students in chapel just here a few days back. And actually, I'd read it here in the sanctuary too, days gone by. And I preached on it not too long ago, about being teachable. Teachable. You see, when we think we have it all figured out, we're not teachable. And the thing is we really won't know. And this is something Jesus told his disciples. Don't worry about what you're going to say. And don't worry about what you're going to do. Because when it happens, I will tell you. What he did tell his disciples to be was ready. Be ready. You know not the day nor the hour that I will return. But also be ready because you don't know what you're about to face. You don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. But you got to be ready for me to give you the instruction that you're going to need when the moment happens. This is why when we learn to tap into readiness, we don't have to worry, we don't have to fret, because we're ready for when the command comes down from above. Woo. We sing a chorus sometimes, I know my Lord's going to lead me out. I know my Lord's going to lead me out. We need to add some to that. I don't know how he's going to lead me out, and I don't know if I'm going to get led out, because I don't know if I know when he talks to me. Because he can only lead those that know his voice. And if I don't know his voice, I can't be led out. The detriment, what do you do when you're hemmed in the corner? What do you do when you're pressed? It's that fight or flight that is a human thing. But for the child of God, it's not fight or flight. It's hearken. This is hard to get away from. This is hard to transform into. Because our natural characteristic is either fight or run. But the spiritual is stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand and hear what thus saith the Lord unto thee. Then it may be run. Then it may be fight. Let me read on. Hallelujah. You see, this is where it's at, church. This is where victory is found. This is where that mighty marching force of the church is displayed. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not man-made. They're not man-thought. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds, because the strongholds are in the vain imaginations. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing. How many times have you got some news, but you didn't get all the news, and that someone needed prayer? And all of a sudden, your imagination starts going crazy. Oh my, have they had a car wreck? Oh my. I mean, this happens to me. This is what happens to me. If my wife doesn't arrive home from work, where she works in Tulsa, at per se a 15-minute window of normal, and I realize, wait a minute, she's not here. Never fails. First thought that comes to my mind, she's had a wreck. Not doubting her driver's ability. That's just how the enemy works, church. That's how the imagination can really get you worked up over nothing. I've got to bring that imagination captive. But where am I going to put it? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Wait a minute. Did you just catch that? Our God is able. Our God is all powerful. Our God will. Our God loves. Are you getting the picture? But then imaginations just does away with all that knowledge and looks at the situation, instead of bringing it under captivity to the knowledge of the God you serve. Woohoo! Hallelujah! This is where it's at. This is where faith kicks in. The situation looks bleak. The imagination says, oh no, there's no way this will ever happen. But the knowledge of God is, I can do all things. Hallelujah! To those that believe, that's the promise of an almighty God that is able to perform that. So I'm going to have to bring every imagination subject to the knowledge of the God I serve. Because if I don't, I won't have faith and it won't happen. This is where faith is produced. I begin to operate on the knowledge of my God and not the vain imagination of my mind. And bring it into captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Wow.
Readiness.
No matter what's coming against me, I'm listening for the Master's voice. I don't need to worry. I don't need to stress. I don't need that. I just need to know my God is near, and I'm just listening for His voice. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Readiness. A readiness. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. A readiness, quickness, promptness, freedom from hindrance or obstruction. A readiness of speech, a readiness of thought, a readiness of mind in suggesting an answer, a readiness of reply. Promptitude, cheerfulness, willingness, freedom from reluctance. Readiness. I realize fear is real. I also realize that courage is not the absence of fear, but courage is putting fear where it belongs and putting God where he belongs. That's courage. Hallelujah. And the reality here is I've got to have a readiness to revenge. That word revenge, that is talking about putting something in its place. To vindicate by punishment of an enemy. Blow for blow, if you will. Every lie, truth. Every lie, truth. Every lie, truth. A readiness to revenge all disobedience. What is disobedience? Catch this. This is just the word that it used. Inattention. In other words, not paying attention is disobedience. What was that you said? Was you talking to me? What did I just preach, Isaac? Lydia? Jamie? Yeah. Attentiveness. When you're in the house of God, you need to be attentive. You need to hear what God's trying to say to his church. Not what your neighbor's saying. No. What God's saying. What is God saying? How is God trying to help me? How can I be more victorious? By being ready and attentive to God's word. You realize disobedience means I wasn't attentive to God's word. Who in the world is going to stop me from doing wrong? Who's going to show me what wrong is? And then when I come to the knowledge of what wrong is, because the Spirit of the Lord has revealed the Word of God, then who's going to show me how to do it? The Spirit of God. What is obedience? Attentive hearkening. Readiness to be attentive, to hear what God has to say about every temptation, every trial, every test, every situation. You see, when you come to every situation of life, your natural human instinct, and especially mine, is going to be to try to figure it out. My tendency is to go to the root of the problem, jerk the root out, and throw it out. No matter who gets hurt in the process. That's my natural tendency. Works well in the natural realm, but it don't work good at all in the spiritual realm. Not at all. Because not everybody can withstand that kind of pressure like it. Some other folks can. Not everybody's temperament is the same. Sister Pepper's been doing some teaching on that. She preaches to me all the time about it. If you haven't realized it yet, Brother Pepper's temperament is one of those that not everybody gets along with. So he's got to work on it so he can get along with everybody. Yeah, I mean, you know, just grab it up, make it happen. That's how I do it. Me, that's my temperament. Other folks got to analyze it for at least 2 days. Before they'll do anything about it. Me, let's just grab it, do it, it's done. Is it wrong to analyze it 2 days? No. Just take 2 days to get it done. Is it wrong to grab up, do it? No. Because it gets the job done. It's just the way different people think. But the most important thing is, whatever thinking process I may have, it's got to be attentively hearkened to the Spirit of God and the Word of God, or it won't happen and it won't work and spirituality will not be had. So the temperament is not the factor. The factor is attentive hearkening. Hallelujah. Because attentive hearkening takes the strong temperament and pulls it down. The spirit, the tent of hearkening takes the weaker spirit and raises it up to where it's all the way God wants it done. So obedience is attentive hearkening. Disobedience is not paying attention to God. So have you figured it out yet? The only way disobedience can happen is if I don't listen to what God's telling me. And the only way obedience can happen is if I listen to what God's telling me. It don't make any difference who you are, really how old you are, because the key factor is being ready to hear from God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's coming against you, having that relationship with God that you know He's going to lead you through this one step at a time. One step at a time. Hallelujah. See, a readiness to revenge all disobedience. That means I'm not going to give in again. I'm not going to be foolish again. I'm ready to revenge foolishness. I'm ready to revenge not listening. How do I revenge not listening? By purposely listening. Purposing in my heart that I won't sin against my God. So what is sin? Not listening to God. Stop and think about it. Really, it's a simple definition. And when you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, how did sin enter into this world? They quit listening to God and started listening to the serpent. They quit being attentive to God and His word. They became attentive to the serpent. And sin entered in this world. How's sin going to enter into your life? Just like that. How's sin going to enter into my life? Just like that. That is the only way it can enter in. When I just quench the Spirit of God or grieve the Spirit of God. What does that mean? I'm not listening. Have you ever started watching the kids and they start talking to each other and trying to tell each other how to do something? And I've seen this happen. I've done it a time or two. Just speak to the hand. I'm not listening. It reminds me of the little kids over at Good Hope Church. 4 or 5 year old kids. And one little boy was trying to tell this little girl that, you know, you're a sinner and you're not going to heaven. She goes, blah, 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 blah. Whoa. Well, that's what it means when the Bible says, grieve not the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is coming, and He's coming abruptly, and He's coming tenderly, and He's coming with all power of heaven, and He is suggesting, don't do that. And when we choose to do it, we're going, blah, 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 blah. And then when we fall in, we're going, God, why in the world did you let me fall? He didn't. You didn't listen to Him when He came. Oh, we just quenched the Spirit, and we wouldn't listen to what He had to say, and thus disobedience became a choice. See, we all have a choice for everything. Now, if you choose to just remain the way you've always been, I want you to know it's the wrong choice. But it's your choice. But if you do choose to honk that horn, so to speak, realize to persist that way is to grieve the Spirit of God and quench the Spirit of God. Because God's not going to leave you like He found you. Because He found us in sin. And He found us with warped thinking and warped habits. And he's going to take and cleanse and sanctify and change those habits and change those manners. That's the job the Spirit of God's in. And so if I choose just to be who I am, it's the wrong choice. And you will end up quenching the Spirit of God and grieving the Spirit of God, because his job is not to leave me like he found me, but to conform me to the image of Christ. And that's not just a picture of Jesus somewhere. No, no, that's talking about his character, his nature, his thoughts, his ways. Woo! Hallelujah. Because he's going to lead me. He's going to lead me out of this desert place. He's going to lead me out of mannerisms and habits. He's going to lead me into the path of righteousness. Glory to his holy name. And the Spirit of God is the key catalyst in my life being conformed to the image of Christ, maintaining a readiness, a contrite spirit. That means a teachable spirit, ready to be taught, so that I may go forth different than I was before. See, that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen at the born-again conversion. That happens as I learn to walk in the Spirit of God, being attentive to the voice of my God and letting him to begin to direct my paths instead of me directing my own. We'll close with this. It's a story that I have read about a situation that concerned or included D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a very famous evangelist, very famous for soul winning. And this committee was going to put on a campaign in this city. And this committee was trying to decide who they were going to have come minister at this campaign. And several of the men on the committee began to suggest D.L. Moody. And one younger man, younger minister on that committee, said, "Why do we need D.L. Moody? Why is it always D.L. Moody? Why is it D.L. Moody? D.L. Moody, D.L. Moody." He said, "D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost." The room kind of got quiet. And then one wise minister said, "No, D.L. Moody does not have a monopoly on the Holy Ghost. But it is evident that the Holy Ghost has a monopoly on D.L. Moody." Readiness. Does the Holy Ghost have a monopoly on you? Can he do through you what the Almighty God of heaven needs done on the face of this earth? Because you are part of the body of Christ. And you must bring yourself. I must bring myself. We must keep ourselves in a state of readiness for whatever needs to be done. You never know. There might be someone at the grocery store who needs to hear about Jesus, and you're the only one there who really knows him. Does the Spirit of God have enough monopoly upon your life that he can use you? It's amazing how God moves. I may not have the fullness of the story, but I know Brother and Sister Price ran into Sister April at the grocery store. And Sister April began to invite them to church. And they began to talk about the church and everything. And then all of a sudden, I think they realized, that's the church we've been watching on Facebook. Am I saying this right? So they had already seen us on Facebook. God was already talking to them, drawing them in this direction. And then Sister April meets them in the grocery store and puts a face with Facebook. And the rest of the story is, here they are. Praise God. That's what I'm talking about. A readiness. You see, we broadcast on Facebook. Not everybody that views Facebook clicks that button and says, I'm viewing Facebook. You don't have to do that. That's just out of kindness, and you want people on this end to know you're watching. Like right now, well, Lindsay's probably asleep, but Floor May's on Facebook. Brother Lucas's mom was watching on Facebook. Don't know if she's still there or not, but they're watching on Facebook, and they click the button, says, I'm watching. But we have no idea who all is watching Facebook. You know, Google is. And they're making a copy of it. I feel famous. I'm famous on Google. Glory to God. No, Google's watching it. The government's watching it. They know everything I'm preaching here. Somebody in the government's going to listen to this message because they have to. You may be listening to this message tonight because you have to. You didn't realize I was going to preach this. You wish you would have stayed home. Praise God. Woo. But the reality, we don't know who all God is reaching. But there might come a moment of time where they need a face with Facebook. They need someone to step up and begin to talk about where they go to church and what God's been doing. That's just a small example, church. Readiness. Readiness. For it is readiness that will produce greater things in revival. Because I have to be ready. And I'm closing. Sister Fred, we can come back to the piano. I have to be ready. And I know this is just repeating something, but yet it's important. That's why Jesus said, verily, verily, multitudes of times in the Bible, he said, this is twice as important as you think it is. I have to be ready for whatever God wants done to move out of my comfort zone so God's will and work can be done. I can't have thought for self-face. I can only have thought for allegiance and obedience to what God is wanting to do and how God is wanting to work in my life, in your life. We have a tendency as human beings to make it to certain comfort zones of Christianity, to where if people are looking on, they can say, oh, now they're a committed Christian. But you're only committed in your comfort zone. You're not committed to get out of it. Does the Spirit of God have monopoly of your life? Does He have more say over your life than you do? That's tight. That's tight. Whoa. But it's right. A readiness. to revenge all disobedience. A readiness. Yes, a readiness to worship. Yes, a readiness to praise. Yes, a readiness to read. Yes, a readiness to pray. Yes, a readiness to witness. Yes, a readiness to sacrifice. I can't help but think of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. The Bible says he was a man full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost. That means he was ready. That means he was ready for whatever needed to be done. You got to realize, as Stephen began to preach, just like as preachers, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, anger was rising in the minds and the hearts of those he was preaching to. He could see the rage in their eyes. And he could have at any moment gave the benediction and said amen. And he could have saved his life that day just by zipping the lip and sharing it for another, or saving it for another time. But the Spirit of God was wanting something different that day. The Spirit of God was wanting that message shared in its entirety, regardless of the consequences to the physical life of Stephen. Stephen was ready. He was ready to go. He was ready to die. He was ready to preach. He was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was faithful, and he was wise. And he was ready to revenge all disobedience and be very attentive to the Spirit of God, because he knew no matter what transpired in this situation, God was going to be glorified. If he lost his life, it would be to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And he thought nothing of his own life. Readiness. Readiness. Be ready. For in an hour you think not, your Lord doth come. We might think that's talking about the rapture, but it may not be. It may be talking about the time of your departure, when you're standing, exalting your Lord, and preaching his word. Either way, I must be ready. I must be ready. Readiness. Let's stand. Father in heaven, Lord, we rejoice in your greatness. Oh God, you spoke everything into existence. Hallelujah. Your counsel standeth forever, and the thoughts of your heart is to all generations. And God, I thank you, Lord God, of how you're moving right here on the face of this earth. Lord, in Chelsea, Oklahoma, in this sanctuary, in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Oh God, because you are planning, Lord, these final days of your church. And God, you're getting us ready. You're getting us ready. Hallelujah. Lord, for the things that you're going to need to have accomplished. Father in heaven, we praise you. We thank you. We adore you. We magnify your holy name. Oh, Lord God, we are aware of your greatness, Lord, in a greater way than we ever have been before. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to our God. Glory to our God. Just right there where you're standing tonight, church, just lift your hands to the Lord. Just lift your heart to your God. Hallelujah. Just let him know where you stand. Oh, let him know where you're at. Hallelujah. Let him know where you want to be. Oh, God of heaven. Lord, if you're doing something in this season, please don't do it without me. Lord, let me be a part, Lord, of these last days in your power and your work. Oh, Lord God, I want this readiness in my life. I want this readiness in my mind. Lord God, I want your spirit filling me to overflowing, God. Lord, I want your spirit to have a monopoly upon my life.
Just let me feel your embrace. For my unbelief, settle on my soul, sweet Jesus, settle down.